Hey everybody, welcome. This is the Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Won't you just tune in? Welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Hey. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Hey. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Hey. I wouldn't be so unique. Hey. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yeah. I wouldn't live under a roof. And yeah. I wouldn't be up in this booth. And yeah. I wouldn't know he is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise him like the day that he rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these foreign cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't have been cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed, so without a doubt. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the Word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I talked to God, he said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. And they try to act like they never knew you, but the devil can't do nothing to you.
Cause the power,
I give it to him.
The glory,
I give it to him.
Forever,
I give it to him.
And ever,
I give it to him.
The power,
I give it to him.
The glory,
I give it to him.
Forever,
I give it to him.
And ever,
I give it to him.
The power,
I give it to him.
The glory,
I give it to him.
Forever,
I give it to him.
Hello, family. Here we are again for another Bold and Beautiful.
Bold and Beautiful.
Kiss out.
In the house. So we are excited today to join you. We're just going to chop it up in the Lord and see where the Holy Spirit takes us.
Right.
There are no guests. It's just us,
just
your
us.
Wonderful host.
Yes.
This is, of course, Minister Jordan, and I have with me Reverend Novena. Say what's up.
What's up?
And Reverend Curtis, say hey.
Hey, what it do? What it do?
So we are going to just dig right in. Sister Novena, would you just open us up in prayer, please?
Certainly, certainly. Oh, Father, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for our time together, Lord God. We thank you for every person who tuned in to listen to us, Lord God. Just continue to minister to our hearts and minister to theirs as well, Lord God. Prepare their hearts, Lord God, to receive what you have for them even right now, Lord God. And even lead and guide this conversation, for you know who will be listening in to us, Father. We thank you for the day that we had today, Lord God, and we just thank you for all that you're going to continue doing in and through our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen.
Amen. So I'm going to kick it off with Curtis, because he's the one who came up with where we're going to springboard off of today. So, Curtis, if you'd like to introduce where we're going to start off with this evening.
Well, you know, let me start off with saying it's an awesome opportunity to be right here back with my sisters, to be right here in the studio and chiming it up in the spirit. We haven't had a show just ourselves in a while, so we're going to really chop it up in the spirit and let the spirit lead. So I have sessions with the Lord, okay? Mm-hmm. And in my sessions with the Lord, I'm doing air fingers right now. But in my sessions with the Lord, we have a lot of conversations. Mostly I do the listening, because it's important, but also too, I have some things I say back that I get responses for. Yeah, the Lord still talks to his people. Amen.
Amen.
Well, one of the things we talked about recently was about unbelief. So with this unbelief, knowing that we're in a season right now where God is really doing some miraculous things and moving people into greater levels and fulfilling some things in people's lives, in this people's life, the springboard that we're going to spring off is what do we need to really believe? What do we need to really believe? Now, when I pose that question, I pose it in the sense of, after we have been saved by grace, coming to the body of Jesus Christ, accepted and beloved, and knowing the love that God has lavished on us, that he died on Calvary's cross, that we could be his people, that we were once in sin, but yet he saw us as his love and friends.
Preach.
When we were his enemies, he still brought us in, but yet at the same time, we know our hearts and I know our lives and how he's changed us. He can see our flaws, but yet still see us as flawless. So in that regard, when you know you felt that type of love, what do we really need to believe? How is it that your salvation story isn't enough to believe everything that God says after that anymore? What do we need to believe? So here we go. We want to tell you, what do we need to believe? I mean, it's been times like this, and I'm just going to throw it like this. Mm-hmm. It's been times like this that I've been like a Gideon. Say, Lord, if you really saying this right, I'm going to put the fleece out, so let the fleece be wet, but not the floor. So then the fleece be wet and not the floor.
Oh, then what?
But then the next time around, okay, Lord, I see what you did. But this time, just one more time, can you do this for me? Let the floor be wet, but not the fleece. And then he do it again. And now I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, I got you. All right. I sound like Kevin Hollow. All right, hold on. But now, Lord, just let my feet be wet, not nothing else.
See.
So God now is saying, okay, hold up. After I've done all that, what do you need extra to believe?
Mm-hmm.
So is this something tangible that you really need to believe? God wants us to get to a place where I don't got nothing tangible in front of me. I can't grab hold of nothing. I can't see nothing, but yet I still believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of faith that God wants us to get to, because that's the type of faith that moves mountains. Mm-hmm. That's the type of faith that causes the mustard seed to spring into the tree that we know it can become.
Yeah.
That's the type of faith that causes people who don't have faith in what you believe, see you testify, call you a fool, and think you're crazy, but then God prepares a table for them, for you, in the face of them, and your cup start running over.
Hello?
In their face.
In their face.
Absolutely.
But it's not the shame. It's only the winner.
Just the winner.
So what do we need to believe?
What do we need, Lord?
So, I am in this fantastically special place where, you know, when you're in a place where you have history with God, so you can look back and you know you have your, you know, like you have your Red Sea moments and you know what I mean? Where you've just been delivered. And so you know that he's a deliverer. And there is a sustenance that you get from those experiences. But in the same token, you can't like rest in those experiences. We're supposed to be, because we're in relationship, that is something where there is an exchange back and forth continually. That like I am aware that I have to, while I still use those experiences to keep me encouraged, I understand that in my relationship that I am still pressing for the continuing exchange. And even in times of silence and, you know, like what I would call like those wilderness experiences, like, because, you know, sometimes the Lord will lead you into the wilderness. You'd be like, okay, locusts and berries today. Okay, God. Okay.
Thank you very much.
But on the other side of it, that there are these moments where God is going to show himself like strong and mighty. And I feel like I am somewhere, hopefully, Jesus, cross my fingers, in the middle toward the end of my wilderness.
Yeah.
Like in a space where God is trying to quiet things down to get you to focus. So before we got, you know, before we started the show, we were talking about where we are in God. And I was saying that I feel like God is telling me to focus, to find balance. And then my brother gave me a word talking about procrastination, and that's my buzzword, y'all. Like that's one of the things I have struggled with all my life is procrastination. So that was on time. But I feel like you have to do two things. You have to rehearse the experiences you had while still striving and working diligently in maintaining relationship and maintaining a continuing exchange between you and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. I agree
with that, because I was thinking about that as well. What else What do we need to believe? And, you know, I have a history with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And I was just reflecting even before we got on air about, you know, living with a person that was addicted to crack cocaine. And I look back on how I didn't invite people into my home. And to know me now, it would maybe hard for some people to believe that because I'm so welcoming and open now. And I think over these 30 years, I have learned to literally rest in whatever he brings my way. Because I know one of my friends was calling and talking with me today about the what ifs. Mm-hmm. The what ifs. I can't play with the what ifs anymore. I don't. I refuse to play with what ifs.
Come on now.
Because this is now. Mm-hmm. Now faith is. You know, and so what do I have before me today? You know, what do I have before me today? You know, and I have so many more blessings than these things that seem to be overwhelming.
Yeah.
I know that all those things that seem overwhelming, like I heard someone else talk today about, you know, all the stuff that just from listening to her, I knew where she got all of it. It was from the news. Mm-hmm. She was talking about the political climate. She was talking about the literal weather and the climate and the storms. And, mm-hmm. and sure, all of that is happening. Mm-hmm. And he gave us a mechanism. Mm-hmm. You could pray.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And believe those prayers. But and after that, okay, because if I'm in a state of being overwhelmed, I can't move. If I'm so busy worrying about the storm and Dorian, which is real. Mm-hmm. But he said, pray for those. You know, pray for them. And even, you know, give them some money if you can. You know, but you definitely can pray. Praying is free. You can donate. You can donate blood. You can donate food. You can donate whatever.
Your time. Volunteer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, after that, then you're still overwhelmed. Why? So then you got to develop this conversation with yourself. That's what I do anyway. Because at the end of the day, I'm still going to have to do these tasks that's on my list. Mm-hmm. And I have to realize I'm not doing them by myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everything that's on here, I have to know why I'm doing it and prioritizing. Mm-hmm. And this has just come, you know, over, you know, 30 years. So I might be tired, but it's no more than what he's called me to do.
Awesome.
You know? And that for me, personally, I'm in my sweet spot right now. And is it the way I want it to be? I don't even know really what I truly want, because it's one thing I say I believe I want. But he said, if I don't give you that, are you satisfied with me and me alone?
If your waiter don't bring it to you like you asked for,
can you still be satisfied? I'm like, oh yes. Can anybody else make your life as sweet as it is now?
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. And if that if I do give you that thing and it's not as sweet as what you and I have right now, you know, what you gonna do? At the end of the day, I'm still gonna be with you, God.
That's right. Come on.
So can you be content in this state that you're in right now? Mm-hmm. And just do what I ask you to do. That daily communion, listening to me. Mm-hmm. You know, checking your spirit, your soul, and your body out. Mm-hmm. Is that enough for you? It's enough for me right now.
Amen.
And I'm just grateful. So I reflect a lot on where he's brought me from. Because I sometimes it's kind of odd, you know, why aren't you upset about that? Because I've been upset before. Mm. And at the end of the day, I still got to rest in Jesus. I got to believe what he said.
That's good stuff.
You know, so that's where I am. I'm also about to be 55 years old, too. So.
Yeah.
So I'm in a whole different state.
Yep. And don't look a day over 39. Bless his name. Bless his name.
And he's giving me a lot of young friends. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, and knowing my spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. I understand why he brings them towards me. Not to fix their problems, mm-hmm. but to remind them of who he said he is.
Come on, man.
You know, to encourage them, to give them a hope to take courage and continue on. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know my place right now.
Amen. Mm,
that's good. That's good stuff. You know what I'm hearing from both of you, like from basically one is that, and it's like a saying that I always had, like, your past testimonies will always be the fuel for your future confidence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
fuel. Yes, indeed.
He says he doesn't change yesterday, today, or forevermore, mm-hmm. then we can still trust him in that vein. Mm-hmm. And then even with you, I hear that it's not just You said this is like a 30-year, this was a 30-year process of getting to this place.
Yes.
So it's a process for all of us. So for those that are listening, if you do find yourself, because we all find ourselves in a place sometimes where we might not have enough faith to say, Lord, I really believe you can do this. Like, not that you don't believe, mm-hmm. because he gives us a measure of faith, but it's just times that sometimes you're like, Lord, because I've questioned it. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday.
How real it is.
You know? So the reality of it is that, like you say, we have to constantly, like, you know, talk to God about these things, express them. It reminds me of when the man had a son who was possessed with demons, and the disciples could not cast it out, and he was worried, you know, were worried, and they wondering why, and they bring him to him, but Jesus asked him, said, do you believe? And then he says, yes, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief.
That's real.
So it's right. places it's that real. We believe, like, Lord, listen, it was times where I was stuck, for those that don't know, I was incarcerated at one time, but there's been times that I stood, but I've read in the book of Acts, when Paul and Saul was in prison, and they began to pray
come on.
At midnight, and then the doors opened up. It's been time, I finished reading that, I stood in front of the prison door, I say, open up in the name of Jesus. And then when the door ain't open up, I say, I still got enough faith to just say you can do it in the name of Jesus. Guess what? A month later, it happened. All the doors in the prison opened up.
Come on.
But what I'm saying is, then it comes to the place where I'm sitting in the miracle, get this now, not in prison no more, free. The promise fulfilled, sitting in the miracle, but forget I'm inside the miracle.
Forget.
And that's crazy. You know, and you think like, okay, so you've experienced this mountaintop, but we have scripture, people all through history and scripture to prove that it's a common thing between all believers.
Yes.
If you have Elijah on top of a mountain to kill all the prophets of Baal, outrun a chariot.
Come on.
But then when the woman, Jezebel, say, if I don't have your life by the end of this day and do what you did to them, then so be my head. Mm-hmm. He go in the wheel and say, Lord, I need to die.
Ain't nobody else gonna do this for you, Lord.
You didn't kill 400 and my 450 prophets, 850 prophets on the mountain, outran a chariot with horses, and now she say, I'm gonna kill you. And Lord, I can't.
Oh, what am I gonna do?
You know?
Yeah.
We do it though.
Yes,
right?
We do. Oh, yes, we do.
But it's a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know, now get this, know that word, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Mm.
So it's two type of knowledges. It's more than two type of knowledge, but in the Greek. So in this particular scripture, it's an odai. Now, epignosis knowledge is experiential knowledge, where you begin to gain understanding by what you experience with God. But Paul speaks in this verse right here, an odai knowledge. That's a knowledge that's past that. It's a knowledge that basically says, without a shadow of a doubt, I know whom I believe. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know who got me. I know who got my life. I know who has me in his hand. I know. And that's where God wants us to come to.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is that what do we need to believe?
Yeah.
Because if he says he's already given us all things that pertain unto life and the godliness to achieve the victorious life, that joy life, that he says that exuberant life that only the Spirit of God can give, that life that passes all understanding that we never even comprehended that we can experience when we were in sin. If he gives us that already, why isn't that enough for us to believe when we face the next task, the test or trial?
Next. That's the thing next. That's why it takes that faith to do that next thing. Because we can reflect on all the things that he's done and it's strengthened us, but then he put something else in front of us. Like, come on, retirement. I've been talking about it.
Excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I'm gonna be retiring in 3 years.
2020. You remember that?
I do. It's gonna be 3 years.
That's only 3 months away now.
Listen,
like 4 months.
Honey. And but see, some things that has had to take place between proclaiming it and the reality of it.
Say that again. Good God Almighty.
And a lot of things have come in the way of it. As bait. I've learned to call it bait. A lot of change has been taking place, but at the end of the day, that's a set time. everything in between can change. But on that day, that's the day I signed for. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting it to come. And I'm expecting the same guy that was with me in 1987 when I started, mm-hmm. that's allowed me to work consistently for 36 years when you count all the time. It's the same one that has prepared me for such a time as this.
Come on.
And to look at where I'm sitting now, mm-hmm. and when I reflect, I see where he's brought me from. Mm-hmm. Not just even since I've been grown and independent, but as a child. You know, when I tell you I grew up in a one-bedroom apartment, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying I'm living large and lavish now, but I know what it takes to run this. Mm-hmm. And I know it's nobody but God.
Come on, man.
To nobody but God. And it still just takes staying in tune with him, because he's allowed people to be on my journey who remembers the one-bedroom apartment, mm-hmm. and remembers the love that was in that one-bedroom apartment, my mama, my daddy, and me. Mm-hmm. And now, 40, 50 years later, I'm seeing the fruit of that with my relatives and how those young men are fathering their children or loving their wives. Mm-hmm. And that it just blesses me so. And I'm realizing the treasure I had in my house just with my dad, and my mom. That's a whole nother level right there. Mm-hmm. But I'm so very grateful. I'm in a very a place of gratitude right now, because sure, all this other stuff is happening. If anything, it makes me more compassionate, because I have more years behind me than I believe I have in front of me. And I believe I can be more compassionate towards younger people, because they may not have experienced the same grace, same level of grace and compassion mm-hmm. that I've been given. And that's what I want to extend to them, Just like it's people who've experienced stuff that I have not yet experienced. And I pray that they can, help me through whatever other storms I'll be going through. But it's amazing. It's amazing just being able to reflect,
Yeah, he is amazing. You just want to say something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was thinking? I was like, in different seasons in your life, you're like, I know I will have arrived when I get this. And then you get that and you're like, okay, well, I'll know I have arrived when I get, when I get here, right?
Yeah.
And so I think about all of the things previously that I said,
yeah,
I know I will have arrived when I get here. And it's funny because I was having a conversation with my mother the other day, and we were talking about like our journey with the Lord and where we are and what we're feeling, yeah. and mm-hmm. just mixing it up. And I was like, what I feel now? I feel like, okay, so before I give the end of that story, I'm going to give this. I feel, this is just me, I feel like sometimes me and other believers, we are still eating from two trees. We're still eating from good and evil and the tree of life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like once we're only feeding from the tree of life, mm-hmm. that we'll even stop questioning, where we are, what we do. Because we were talking, like my mother and I were talking about, like, so what do you feel like? Do we need to be praying more? Do we fasting more? Mm-hmm. what are these things we need to be doing? And I was like, when we stop asking these questions, mm-hmm. we will have arrived.
That's it.
When it is an environment, almost like when we're in the garden, where you're just with God and he's just with you, and there's no question about where you are, or how far away or how close you feel. It's just...
You just literally took like the words out of my mouth. Seriously, because I was sitting here thinking, like, as I'm listening to Novena, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, what do I really do? What do I really need though? Like, because you say, I know he's the same God that's gonna provide for me. And I'm just asking mm-hmm. myself, well, what does I really? And then you come with that, mm-hmm. like, what do I really need? And what I have come to the conclusion of in that moment of time is this. And the scripture had came in my spirit, when the children of Israel had sinned against God, and he was going to let the angel of the Lord lead them, mm-hmm. as opposed to him himself. And Moses said, Lord, Do not go. He says, we will not go if you don't go with me.
Exactly.
Show me your glory, right? He says, because what's the thing that differentiates us from other nations but your presence?
Your presence. Right.
And then I thought about that as you were saying it, it was in my spirit that really, because at the truth, at the end of the day, no matter how much I have, no matter how much I didn't have, when I had the presence of God with me, it was enough.
Enough.
So when the promise didn't arrive in time, or when I thought it should, his presence was there, and it was okay.
Yeah.
When the heartbreak was real,
come on,
and the tears were falling down my face, but his presence was there, it was okay.
Hello?
When the times of happiness was there, and the rejoicing and the laughter and the joy was in my spirit, it was okay because his presence was there.
Yeah.
Even in the times when I didn't know what to do, to turn to the left nor the right, and he just said, be still, because I got you, it was okay. So at the end of the day, when I realized that all I really need is the presence of God to be with me, but how do I commune with him on a constant level with my connection doesn't get broken and my Savior doesn't depart and I don't depart from my Savior, because guess what? He never departs.
Never. He never. Just as surely as we have a breath, pneuma, our breath.
Come on, man.
You know, that's a reminder. People talk about Domestad and being mindful and counting the breaths and pneuma.
No one.
Only he can give us that next breath. And as surely as I'm breathing, he is with me. I think about the very lowest, hurtful, most painful place I have been. And I faced two times like that. One was when I was told my mother stopped breathing. And I did not have a relationship with God. I knew of God, but I didn't have a relationship. And that's what chased me to God. And I learned how to pray, and I learned how to, that began my relationship. And I saw a miracle take place. And then three times really, when at the point of death, that's the place. Mm-hmm. That is the place where a person's world can be rocked. And that's been places where my whole world has been rocked, whether it was my mother, my grandmother, and my husband. My mother survived. My grandmother, I mean, I had the faith. I was a new believer, and I believed God. Like you said, you lay hands on the sick. You raise Lazarus, you gonna raise my grandmother. No, she's not. Oh, yeah, she transitioned. Can you still trust me? Can you still trust me? Can you still be my encouragement in the earth? Can you still be my ambassador?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so somehow I got it together, and I will bless the Lord at all times. And he knew my heart was broken, but I knew I could run to him. And the challenges I had with my dear, dear friend, my love of my life, my Checha, we spent a wonderful life together, but it came to an end. And that thing broke my heart. And the main thing I heard after he had transitioned, because he loved the Lord and he let everybody know it, was God said, I heard God. I mean, I literally heard when I saw my husband, I saw his body there. And I heard God said, he said, fear not. I heard him from the inside, fear not. And and my mouth said, how can I not be afraid? My mouth said that. But on the inside, I heard him say, because I am with you. I heard it so clearly. I hear it like now. And a sense of peace just came over me. It's hard to explain.
Oh, I know.
I know without a shot. Because that's the only way I could have made it through those next days. And, you know, sharing, you know, just all the things leading up to that point. And he was revealing where he was in each one of those places. And if I can make it through that time, it's been 7 years since. And if I can make it through, I was telling my mom today when I was driving through Virginia, I said, it was a time every time I drove past these buildings, I would just literally cry. coming home from work, I would just cry because of the, literally, the love I lost. But then my perspective has changed because I know he had a relationship with the Lord, and he is still with the Lord.
Right.
You know, and that perspective makes a big difference.
You know, God just has a way. I'm sorry, you was going to say something?
I want to sing something and then tell a story about it.
I just want to say this real quick, but yeah. So God is what's one scripture in particular I love this scripture so greatly because it speaks to so many things in my life that God has shown himself this magnificent in. And it's Jeremiah 32:27, where it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" I've learned over time and I've experienced over time that God, he takes logic and flips it upside down.
Yes, he does. Puts it on his head. Turns it up right on his head.
Yeah. So like the saying says, where logic ends is where faith begins. And I have experienced that so many times. That when logic says that B comes after A and 2 comes after 1, and if you put 2 plus 2 together equals 4, God has switched that around and says, when you put 2 plus 2 together, it equals 10, because I'm just that type of God.
He's that kind of guy.
Multiply. You know,
exponentially.
And then when you look at that, you take some times in your life, like Naveen was just talking about, where you experience a loss, and you look at your hands, and your hands are empty. And then you close your eyes and you cry out and you say how you feel and how you hurt. But then at the same time, you know that you've lost some things, but then when you open your eyes, they're still full. It's just that type of God, man.
Loving
that type
of heart. God. Yeah.
Amen. Don't get me to crying, Curtis.
Yeah, everybody got me to cry. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you. You're good.
Overflow.
The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you, I believe in you, you're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you, you're the God of miracles. Now, your testimony, Naveena, made me think of this song, because the person who wrote this song had lost his infant child. They prayed and believed for his healing, and the baby passed away and transitioned back to the Lord. And he wrote this song as a testament that even when it doesn't show up, like the miracle we want doesn't show up like we want to, that he's still a God of miracles.
Yes, he is.
When it doesn't happen the way we think it's going to happen, that we stand on who he is. And that doesn't mean that we don't pray for the miracle the next time. You pray for the miracle the next time. And so it is so important that even in what we see, because we can't see the whole fabric. Like, he sees the fabric. He knows the grand design and his ultimate desire for us is always good. So even when it doesn't feel good in the moment, you know that it's ultimately good. And to press forward knowing that he is a good God.
Yes.
And he is a loving God. And that everything that we experience and go through and every transition and every season, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't push in faith for that thing.
Yes.
Like, even if the other thing didn't happen, the next thing that happens, you still push for the ultimate.
Because I believe you, God. I believe.
Listen. And so that song was, I was listening to it today, and it always, like, blesses me, because someone who didn't see the miracle was like, but you're a God of miracles.
Yes, you are.
You're a God of miracles. I don't care what just happened. You're a God of miracles.
God of miracles.
Yes.
You just think about that, though. Just think about that. He is a God that really does specialize in miracles.
Yes, he does.
And when you just think about, like, really the miracles, like, that literally, like, I've spent time, like I said, so I was in prison with two lives, one without parole, plus 70 years. Well, God came to me twice, two nights in a row, back to back, and told me he was going to deliver me. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. But it was a period of time where I didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. My mother didn't have any money. And the lawyers wanted money. Mm-hmm. And I fasted and prayed on and off for 2 weeks straight. And at the end of the 2 weeks, the IRS contacted my mother mm-hmm. and told her that they owe her $8,000.
Mm. Won't he do it?
Just like that.
Woo. Won't he do it?
He will do it. Woo. But these are the things where you think about for real, for real. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I think it's like verse 1, it says, cast thy bread upon the water that in due time you will receive it back. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to just throw your faith out there like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So God can just bring back the increase to give him an opportunity to do the miracle.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just speak. I spoke that God was going to deliver me for 16 years and people joked, laughed behind my mm-hmm. back. Mm-hmm. But now call me from that same
come on,
place
come on, mm-hmm.
and say the reason why I believe the way I believe now yeah. is because what God did for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, I still have to remind myself too. Because I face situations out here
right.
where I'm like, Lord, you showed me the end. You showed me what you want to do. But Lord, this don't look like no. what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, what do I need? Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, in those times when I do cry out in that manner, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
He fills that area mm-hmm. of unbelief with his presence.
His presence.
So again, I can feel that assurance. Not to say, listen, I got to keep patting you up. But no, to give me the confidence to say, oh yeah, you did do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking earlier about Psalms 126. He took me here. I didn't preach from it plenty of times. I didn't spoke it plenty of times. I didn't quote it plenty of times. In the King James Version, mm-hmm. it says, and the reason why I'm saying it from the King James Version, mm-hmm. because in ESV, it leaves the again out, but and that, we're not even getting the translation. We're just talking about it right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It says, when the Lord turned the captivity of Jacob, it was like those that dreamed a dream. That's how I've been quoting it for years and preached from it like that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But then this last week ago, God took me back there. And when he took me there, the thing that jumped off the page was when the Lord again mm-hmm. turned the captivity of Jacob. It was like those that dreamed a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then God began to say, the word I left out was again. And God began to say, if I did it before, won't you? What make you think I won't do it again?
Jesus.
I don't know what you waiting on.
Come on.
I don't know what you believe in God for, but what do you need to believe? What do you need to believe? Ask yourself that.
Mm.
What do I really need to believe? Everything that God has said and spoken, what's been prophesied, prayed, what I've asked God for, and he confirmed that he will do it. What do I need to really believe?
Mm.
What do I need?
Absolutely. Mm. I can't think of the person in scripture, I believe it was a king, and he was being, I don't know if the, like enemies were coming to attack him, and it says that he was afraid, but he turned his face to the Lord.
Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he found, and it was something about singing, like he found a song.
Oh.
And I can't remember the full scripture, cause, and I think he at some point he went to all the people and were like, you know, you all need to go before God, and mm-hmm. And they all prayed and together.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the.
Oh, you might be talking about Jehoshaphat in chapter 20 of Second Chronicles when
I think so.
It was Ammon, Moab, oh, and Sarai, mm-hmm. I think it was. It was coming against them. It's around mm-hmm. them, and they all fasted. And
yes.
then the Spirit of the Lord yeah. came upon Jehaziel
yeah.
and prophesied, said, King, you need not to fight in this battle, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And then later on in that same chapter, it says, believe him, your prophets, and you shall prosper. Is that the one when they started singing?
Yes.
He said, what? Oh, that's what
fight.
He did. He said, don't listen, this was the thing.
Because he's afraid.
We about to give y'all peace right quick. A key to victorious victory over the attack of the enemy on your belief. Check this out. So the tribe of Judah
mm-hmm. themselves mm-hmm.
are the praisers.
Yep.
Right? He told them to put the praisers in front of the army.
That's what he said.
Yes.
That's and tell it. Them, praise the Lord. He said, when you go out, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. And when they begin to praise, before they got down to the valley, that the army started killing one another. So when they got there, it was so much spoil because the armies had killed themselves off. Mm-hmm. It took them 3 days to pick up the blessings. Good God Almighty.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. When I went back in the courtroom, I had just preached that message that Sunday at service, and I had court that week. God told me when I go in the courtroom and it started to look like I'm going to lose, just keep saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. Do you know I won that battle in the name of Jesus? God will do it. Let me tell you, good God Almighty, girl, you just brought something back. Hey, look, I'm just telling you.
Hear me, OG.
Again.
Mm-hmm. Believe.
What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you don't know what to look at, what to say, just to start praising them.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. That's it.
I believe in you. Mm. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Hey, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Yes.
You're the God of miracles.
You might just need to rehearse that over and over again in your own spirit, in your own voice.
Yes.
In the car, in the shower, before you get into bed, before you get out of bed.
I believe in you.
You're the God of miracles. You are the God of miracles. You are the God of miracles. Yes, he is.
And hold on to that. You know that. And you might be saying, well, okay, I hear y'all. And I'll be trying to pray, and I don't know what, sometimes I just can't even get the words out because I'll be hurting so bad. Sometimes it just be on me so bad that I just be trying to just, but don't you know that God know what you're feeling?
Absolutely.
That he know what you're experiencing. And it's a story I told plenty of times when I preached, and I like this story because it's really sweet, but it's funny at the same time, about a little girl who was in her room praying. Mm-hmm. Her grandfather passed by, and he sees her in there praying. She's on her knees by her bed. Time to go to bed. He hears her saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So he walking past and he said, I wonder what baby girl in there doing on her knees saying her ABCs.
Mm-hmm.
So he waited till she finished. And then he asked her, said, baby girl, what were you doing in the room? She said, I was praying, granddad. He said, well, when I came past the room, said, I heard you saying your ABCs. Well, she said, well, granddad, when I don't know what to say, I just say the alphabet, and I let God put all the letters together himself.
Amen.
So sometimes when you don't know what to say, God already know it. All you just got to do is get into his presence.
Amen.
In his presence.
Because he's the God of miracles.
Yes, he is. Mm.
So what do you need? That's the question that's on the table tonight. What do you need?
Mm.
I mean, one in particular, I definitely need his presence.
Yeah.
Because without his presence, I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
It's been times where I've wanted other things. But at the end of the day, I do not want to forfeit his presence.
Yeah.
If it means getting those things.
Mm-hmm.
It might be stuff in your life that right now, you know, you say, I want to connect with you, God. You know, I do want more of you. I want to know you better in this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep straddling the fence. I don't want to keep being in that place where I got a question. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be all in, Lord. And that's where God wants you at right now. I don't know who this is for, who's listening right now. But what I want you to know is that in this season, God just wants you all in. Because if you get all the way in, I guarantee you, you're going to start seeing things in this time that's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Things that have been put on pause just because it's just waiting on you to get ready for it. Not that he's preparing it for. It's already fixed for you right now.
Already.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for you right now to just get to that place where you say, Lord, here I am, and I'm done with everything else. So I'm asking you now, what do you need to get to that place? Sure, you're going to have days ahead of you sometimes where you still going to say, Lord, I'm trying, but, you know, stuff a little scary. Mm-hmm. It happens that way when you're in transition. Mm-hmm. The not knowing affects you in a certain way sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to worry about the not knowing because you know the one who does know.
Yeah.
And when you know the one who does know, then you just walk forward because you know he already has the path laid out for you.
Already.
The steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God delights in the way that he's taking you. And all he wants to do is just for you to say, Lord, all I need is you right now.
All I want.
Come on, man. That's all he's asking. Because, see, on the other side of that is everything that you hope for.
Amen.
Inside his will, though.
Amen. I think that about does it. No, man, you got any final thoughts?
All I want is you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom.
That's it.
And all these other things shall be added.
That's it.
Unto us.
That's it.
That was an hour?
We a little lit, 40, 45.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bless God.
Yeah, we.
Bless God. That was good.
That was good. I mean, no, y'all was good. That was good. Y'all was good.
Listen, Curtis wrapped it up like he was doing the message. That was the end of the message. I felt like I need to stand up for the benediction. That's what that was. Amen. Amen. So thank you guys again for listening and to Bold and Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so we sometimes, and I know I sometimes forget to say it, but you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. On Facebook at Bold and Beautiful, WCS, and that's spelled out, regular spelling, Bold and Beautiful, WCS at Facebook. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, we're at Bold and Beautiful, and that's BoldNBeautifulWCS at Instagram. Again, BOLD, the letter N, BoldNBeautifulWCS. So we hope you enjoyed this time with us.
Yeah,
we're silly.
Yes.
We're silly. So tune in to our next show, and we'll see you on the flip side.
'Cause all I want is you.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Love you.